cover from Genesis chapter 22. Amen. We just bless the Lord tonight for those that have a mind to seek God's face. Amen. For those that have a mind, as the psalmist said, to render back unto God all of the benefits and goodness that he's blessed us with. Amen. Amen. We're going to read Genesis chapter 22. We're going to read from verses 1 through 14 together. Amen. Amen. If we all have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
Verse 1 reads, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, give thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took his two young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with me, and I in the land will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know, once again, for what? Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. That's good enough. We'll go a little further. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of the word. Can the church say the word of the Lord?
The word of the Lord.
It's blessed already. Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Amen. Truly, we do thank God tonight for all of his goodness and mercy. Amen. This kind of came to me, sometimes when you're in preparation and you study, God presents things to you. And I was reading it, and they just said, This is your items. Oh, wow, that's a good message. I said, Lord, how do you want me to bring this out to the saints? And the Lord said, I will give this to you for the saints. I gave this to you for you. So that made me look into it a little further. And tonight, our subject that we're going to deal with is, This is your item. So turn to somebody so we can get a little movement in the church. Turn to somebody and tell them, This is your Isaac.
This is your Isaac. Isaac.
This
is your Isaac.
I'm not sure what that's doing, but amen. Turn to somebody else and tell them, This is your Isaac. Amen. This is really a little more in depth than you really think it is. This is your Isaac. Now, one of the scriptures that the Lord used in the book of Ecclesiastes, amen, in the Solomon writing, he said, Let us hear the conclusion of the what?
Whole matter.
everything about life. He said, let us hit a conclusion on the whole matter. He says, what? Fear God. The first thing, what God says beyond anything else, above riches, houses, and land, above what you can accomplish or obtain, He said, the number one thing you have to first do is what? Fear God and keep His commandments. Amen. Of all the scriptures, of all the things in the Bible, He said, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Amen. Can you imagine that's all God asks us to do? It's what? Fear Him and keep His commandments. He said, for God shall bring every word into judgment with every secret thing. So God said, fear me, keep my commandment. He said, that duty means it's an indebtedness. The word duty means it's an indebtedness. In other words, we owe back to God for His goodness to us. Well, what do we owe God? God said, just keep my commandments. Amen. He said, for God shall bring how many words? Every word. Amen. You know, sometimes I wonder in church, do we realize when God said every word, He really means every word? You know, because sometimes in church, we have a tendency to do our own work outside of the Word of God. But He said He's going to bring every word. He said, not only am I going to bring the work that people have seen, but those private works, He said, those along with the secret things, God's going to bring all that into judgment. And I'm wondering tonight, hallelujah, amen, what have our works been? Amen. To the seven churches of Revelation, the Lord said, I know thy works. There's nothing that any of us can do tonight that is not known to God. He says, I know your what? Works. Amen. Tonight He's going to bring every word. Hallelujah. Now let's just look back at our works. Now it's not for me, but do a private search of your works. Amen. It's going to bring God Thomas into Abraham. Do a private search of your works. And the Lord tells him in the book of Luke chapter 17, now, He says, I believe it's Ecclesiastes 12:13, this is the what? Whole duty. God said, you know, the only thing I ask you to do is fear me and keep my commandments. Amen. There's some commandments that we don't like, but guess what? He never gave us the option to not keep those commandments. Fear God and keep His commandments. Well, Luke chapter 17, the Lord starts off, He said, now, beware because offenses must come. He said, but woe unto them by whom they knock, the offenses. But then He drops down, He said, now, but even in you receiving offenses, because a lot of times we think when it comes to dealing with one another, brothers, sisters in church, people outside of the church, we can act any kind of way. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
All right, when y'all don't say amen, I'm gonna bring it out a little bit, all right? We think we can act any kind of way. So the Lord said, the offenses must come. But then He breaks it down even further in the duty of man. And He says this. He said, now, if your brother trespasses against you seven times in one day, we deal with what? The whole duty of man. He said, if he trespasses against you seven times in one day, and seven times in one day, turn and ask you to forgive, repent, and ask you to forgive them, the Lord said, you ought to forgive them seven times. When the apostles and the disciples heard that, they said, Lord, increase our faith. Does that sound like something else like that? You want me to do that? You want me to be kind in spite of how they acted? And then after they acted this much, you know, if somebody does something seven times in one day, that's pretty deliberate, wouldn't you think?
Yes,
amen. If somebody seven times offend you in one day, you know that has to be pretty deliberate. Amen? He said that even though they deliberately offend you seven times in one day, I want you to forgive them. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, okay, now I'm going to give you another parable for those of you that want your faith to increase. He said, which of you had a servant? After he'd gone out and done everything that was commanded him to do. Amen. He said, now after he's done all of his work and when he comes into the house, he said, will you tell him, well, just go relax and do what you want to do? Relax and do what you want to do. Or he said, well, he said, first serve me. Amen. He said, now, after you've done that, and you've worked and labored, and you've done that, he said, now, after you've done all of that, he said, we still are unprofitable servants. And you've only done that which has been commanded of you to do, which is your duty. I'm wondering in church if people forgot their duties to God. Amen. I'm wondering, have we forgot that, Lord, what shall I render unto God for all of his benefits? We think that when we've done something, we need a pat on the back. God said, no, you're just an unprofitable servant. And you've only done that which I have commanded you to do. And that is your duty. What the Lord was telling them, he said, you know, with all that I've done for you, as much as I've forgiven you, and many times if you messed up, God said, I forgot to forgive you. He said, now you are indebted to me to forgive others. Well, this is Abraham, amen. We all know Abraham. Abraham had his ups and downs, amen. Abraham had his highs and lows, amen. In Genesis chapter 12, when the Lord calls Abraham, the first thing he tells him is, Abraham, I want you to get out of your country. Get away from your kinfolks. Get away from everybody. And the scripture a little later say, Abraham left Abraham and Lot. Amen. So Abraham, what they called his imperfect obedience because he did not do what God commanded him to do. And then as he's traveling, because Abraham was a human, just like any of us. And he said his wife was beautiful to look upon. And he said, told her when they were traveling on their journey, when they went down into Egypt, he said, if the men ask you, who are you, disagree to tell them that you're my sister and not my wife. And it was true, he was not lying. But the covenant that God honored was not the blood covenant. Amen? God honored the marriage covenant. So even though he was being honest as a sister, that was not the covenant that God honored. He honored the marriage covenant, just like the covenant that we have when we got saved. We are entered into a what? Marriage with God. So beyond all of that blood stuff, God says, I see the spiritual covenant. And I place a higher esteem. So when Abraham went down into Egypt, and Pharaoh, as Abraham thought, took Sarai at that time because she was beautiful. The Bible said God plagued the house of Egypt to the point that God dealt with Pharaoh, and that Pharaoh called Abram at that time and said, what have you done? He said, what did you do to me and my kingdom? You told us she was your sister. She said, yes, she is my sister. He said, well, she is also your wife. So even though God had made Abraham that promise, Abraham believed God, but at that time he hadn't yet fully put his what? Trust in God. Now God has said, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Through who? Through Abram at that time and Sarai his wife. Which means that meant that the seed had to come through Sarai. But Abraham was not comfortable. Amen. So then we proceed a little further in chapter 13 of Genesis. Because Abraham had not yet learned to walk in complete obedience to God. So in chapter 13, Abraham and Lot have a strife. So God tells, Abraham tells Lot, he says, it's not good. He says, let's split up and go our separate ways. Because we are brethren and we should not fight. Then after Abraham separated from Lot, God told him, he said, now lift up the eyes. Because now you're doing what I commanded you to do, which is your duty. Amen. So that's chapter 13, chapter 14, you know, he goes and fights. Then chapter 15, God tells him, he said, you're going to be blessed above all measure. He said, you're going to be fruitful and you're going to be blessed. And Abram at that time asked God, he said, well, who's going to be the heir? Since only this Eliezer in my house is a seed. God said, no, not Eliezer. He said, not him. He said, because it's going to come forth from you and Sarah. Sarai at that time. So then we go to chapter 16. In chapter 16, Sarai is tired of waiting on God. It's almost 13 years, 16 years later. She gets tired of waiting on God. So she gives Abraham Hagar, his wife, to bring forth a seed, and then Ishmael is born. But it was still not the duty that God commanded. Amen. So God, Abraham asked God, he said, cannot Ishmael reign before thee and be the seed? God said, no. The seed is coming through you and through Sarah. Amen. So then in chapter 17, amen, this is just highlighting, so you understand that Abraham had highs and lows. And that's what's going to bring us up to chapter 22. In chapter 17, God appears to Abram again. And then in chapter 17, he says, you're going to be blessed. And in chapter 17, he changes his name from Abram to Abraham. He said, because you're going to be the father of many nations. Amen. And then in chapter 18, he deals with Sarah and Abram. And in chapter 18, he changes her name from Sarah to Sarah. And he asked him, is there anything too hard for God? Amen. So we understand that that chapter 18 says, at the appointed time, Sarah shall bring forth a child. Amen. Chapter 19 is not as important in our study tonight because this deal was locked up without Solomon and Gomorrah. So then we go to chapter 20. In chapter 20, there's a famine in the land, and Abraham hears sound. Amen. And I believe to Gerar. And on the way, as he's going to Gerar, he meets Abimelech. And once again, he does the same thing with Abimelech that he did with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. When they saw Sarah, he said, this is my sister and not my wife. Amen. So now God has already said, at the appointed time, which meant a year later, that Sarah was supposed to bring forth a seed. But Abraham had not yet got it. Amen. He was still kind of wishy-washy. So what did Abraham do? He gave Abimelech Sarah, his wife, to be his wife. And God troubled the house because that was not his will. Amen. And Abimelech had a dream, and God came and told right to Abimelech in the dream. He said, don't touch that woman because she's a man's wife. Amen. And Abimelech pleaded with God. He said, well, God, you know, out of the integrity of my heart have I done this. God said, yes. That's why I withheld you from sinning against me. So he calls Abraham back. He said, what did you do? He said, why did you bring this sin by trying to bring this reproach upon my whole kingdom and nation? He said, because I thought you would kill me for my wife, Sarah. But what did God tell him? This time next year, you're going to have a seed. He said, and in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Amen. So from chapter 12 to chapter 20 and 21, Abraham had not yet got it. Amen. So then that brings us up to chapter 22. Our message tonight is what? This is your eyes. Amen. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 22 says, and it came to pass after all these things that we just discussed, amen, that God tested Abraham. Now you would think, by at this stage of the game, that Abraham would have finally gotten it, right? Amen? Because when he came out of Ur of the Chaldees, he was 75. When Isaac was born, he was what? 100. That was 25 years. And most people believe at this time, this was anywhere from 30 to 35 years later. So we're talking about anywhere from almost 55 to 60 years, God is now still testing Abraham. To find Abraham, have you finally died? Are you still being governed by your own insecurities, inhibitions, a lack of trust? Our insecurities and inhibitions and lack of trust will cause us to do opposite of what God has commanded. But let us get the whole duty of men. Fear God and keep His commandment. Tonight, as we search and try our ways, are we keeping His commandments? But He says, God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, He said, behold, here am I. And He said, take now thy son. And He placed emphasis on what? Thine only son. Take now thy son, thy only son. Now, the relationship between Abraham and Isaac most typifies the typology of the relationship between God and Jesus more than any other allegory or story in the Bible. This one thing. And I just mentioned a few things before we go further here. He tells him, now take now thy son, thy only son. Amen. And the Bible says concerning Jesus, John 3:16, said, for God so loved the world that He gave what? His only son. Amen. So as we go, I'll bring it out. So now we're dealing with the only son. He said, now take thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. And if you read 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1, it says that Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. All right, so Abraham is taking the son Isaac to sacrifice him where? Mount Moriah. Where was Jesus sacrificed at? Mount Moriah. It typifies this relationship because it's a walk of faith. Amen. He said, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. Now, they're riding on what? An ass. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, what was he riding on? Amen? The typology is so much there. Now, Isaac had what? Two men with him and the Father. When Jesus was crucified, he had what? Now, you ministers, y'all gonna do a little work on this on your own. I'm highlighting. You're gonna get the rest, right? We got a few more things. So this typifies. Isaac is a type of Christ. Amen. But God uses this type of Christ to test Abraham's faith. That's why tonight this is your Abraham. Because in being your Abraham, we don't understand the working of God. Amen. There are many times when we act out of our own volition, our own will, because it's hard to really know the mind of God and to try to figure out what God is doing. And because we're human, amen, thank God He doesn't condemn us for being human. But when we make a mistake, He expects us to correct it. Amen. So Isaac most typifies Jesus and the relationship between Isaac and Abraham more than any other story in the Bible typifies God and His son Jesus. Amen. So He says, and Isaac's son cleaved the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Now, when he left Ur of the Chaldees, did he know where he was going? Absolutely not. But God said, I will show thee. So even though Abraham did not always trust God, he moved by faith to do what God asked him to do. Now he's going to sacrifice Isaac, but he doesn't even know exactly what, but he's walking by what? Faith. So are we in the church. Then on the what day? The third day. What day did Jesus raise from the dead?
Third day.
Amen. This fourth typifies the life of Christ more than anything else. So God uses the relationship between Abraham and Isaac as a type for the church. But they're walking by what? Faith. Was Abraham perfect? No. Did Abraham make mistakes along the way? Yes. But God. Amen. He lifted up his eyes after how many days?
3 days.
Jesus was in the earth how many days?
3 days.
Amen. The next verse reads, and Abraham said unto the young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and what? Now Abraham hadn't quite got it, but Abraham knew he was going to slay Isaac. Once again, this is your Isaac. That promise. God will use the promise, the blessings, to test your faith to find out that you finally got it. Amen. So he said, I the land will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Some people say, well, Abraham knew he wasn't going to kill his son. We'll find out a little later. Abraham was being obedient. Amen. The next verse reads, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon. So who's bearing the wood? Who bore the cross? Right? It's a faith walk, but it's a great apology. Because as Isaac had to bear the wood, so did Jesus bear the cross. And the fire in his hand and knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. On the way to the sacrifice, Jesus cried out, my God. On the way to the sacrifice, basically Isaac says, my father, my father. He said, behold the wood and the fire, but where is the
lamb?
Where is the lamb? When John saw Jesus, he said, behold the
Lamb of God.
This is a great apology. It's a great faith walk. Amen. The lamb, the wood, amen. So they're going on. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When Jesus died, God provided him himself a lamb. This is your eyes. It doesn't add up. Hallelujah. But when we're walking by faith and we're trusting and believing God, God will do the miraculous. Hallelujah. Then God will find himself on a burning offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, they believe in this time. Now, Isaac is a type of Christ. Amen. In the book of Psalms, I believe 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect to the converting of the soul. Now, everything about Isaac has pointed to Jesus. From the cross to the wood, amen, to the lamb and everything else. How old was Jesus when he was sacrificed?
33.
So if Isaac is typifying in every other word, Mount Moriah, everything is the same. Then they said they know that he was over 20. Since Isaac is the type of Christ, we know at this time he had to be what? He had to be 33. Why would God keep everything else so perfect and mess up there? Amen? But it says, at 33, could not Isaac have fought if he chose not to? So if this is your Isaac, amen. Isaac at 33 could have said, you must be crazy. If you think I'm going to let you put me on that altar as a sacrifice. So Isaac had to what? Willingly surrender. I heard Jesus said, no man take my life. How could I what? I laid it down. Yeah, Jesus laid it down so Isaac could have fought. But it's a faith walk. He did not fight his father, but he willingly laid it down. So now Abraham had the promise, the blessing, the seed that all the nations of the world would be blessed. He is now putting on the altar. But the Bible says that God did tempt or test Abraham. You see, Abraham, when you get the promise, will the promise mean more to you than me? Will you love the promise more than obeying my word? Amen. So God is using the promise. God is using the blessing. God is using it to decipher where he is. Hallelujah. Do you love the promise? Are you closer to the blessing than you are to God? So what's he doing? He's testing Abraham some 60 years almost later. He wants to know, Abraham, have you finally done it? Amen? So he lays them on up on the altar upon the wood. And just for no charge, what was Jesus crucified on? Wood, right? So Isaac being sacrificed on? Amen. This typifies him. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, what are those little things? You know, sometimes you say, you know what? I'll do everything that God asks me to do. But will you do the ultimate sacrifice? There's 99.9% of the things that we will do. But you can be guaranteed, some of us have a reservation. There's that 1.01% I will not do. Well, Abraham is performing the ultimate sacrifice. You know the old song we used to say, dear Lord, I come. Tonight, are we withholding anything?
Come on.
Are we holding back on anything? Have we been so caught up in the blessing that we missed the mind of God? That we missed his will? Amen? Call on him now, he says, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon that lad. Neither do anything. He said, don't do anything unto him. He said, for what? Now, 60 years later, he said, now I know you finally got it. I know you got it. Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy what? But did he have more children? Yes. But they were not the child of promise. What things are we holding on that we've gotten along the way, but they're not the promise? God said, now you require a whole lot of other things, but that's not what I told you to get. So God said, I don't see him, I don't honor them. The only thing I honor is the promise. Next verse. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the what? Miracle. The lamb is now the ram. Jesus was now the lamb that became the ram. And the ram was caught in the thickets by his what? When Jesus was crucified, they placed it what? Thorn or crown upon his? Lord have mercy. How much more? Right? This is type of Christ. So God is saying, oh, look, Abraham, I'm using everything to see how far you're going to trust and believe me. So it was supposed to be a lamb, but then God supplies the ram. Jesus was the Lamb of God, but on the cross when he was crucified, he was now a man, the ram. Amen. Just like it is here, all the way through. And offering him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called unto the name of that place, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, this day, in the mouth of the Lord shall it be seen. He went through all of that to say what? This is your Isaac. You don't have to figure it out, just be obedient. Amen. It is a typified, and you know, also in this 22nd chapter, how many know this is the first time the word love is ever mentioned in the Bible? The first time it's ever mentioned in the whole Bible was the relationship to the Father and the Son. Somebody said, I don't want to be a human looking up. It's in there. This is the first time. He said, thou only Son whom thou lovest. Amen. Tonight, this is your Isaac. But in your eye, are you obedient to God? Are we holding back some things that God does not honor because it's not thine only, it's not the blessing? We're not obedient. We're not fulfilling what God is asking. So somebody say, Lord, I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other. God said, but you didn't do it in obedience? So I don't see that. Because I only see thine only Son. What about Ishmael? Yeah, he's going to be blessed when God said, I don't honor that. Because that was not my way, that was your way. God said, I did not tell you and Sarah to get together and Hagar and plan to have a seed to circumvent what I had commanded. So since you did it your way, God says, it's yours, but I don't see it. Tonight, what things have we substituted? Or how have we tried to circumvent me? God has a way, but we try to either go round it or go over it. How many of the songs say, God got a way that you can't go over? God got a way that you can't go under? God got a way that you can't go around? The only way you can get to God is you got to go through the door. Got to go through the door. You know, in our walk with God, there's so many times. Because we were Abraham. But God told Abraham after almost, if he had 25 and 33, how much does that add up to in normal mathematics? 58, right? Can you imagine 58 years later, God tells Abraham, you finally got it. And then Paul turns around in the book of Romans and says, he was a father of faith that staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. But it says he was not weak in faith, but he was strong in faith. Tonight, you know, when you look around and people got so many excuses. But God says all I see is the promise. God said, I hear about it. I see all your Ishmaels. I see all your substitutes. God said, you know what? First of all, I see your lot. I know none of that. Because that's what you're doing. God says, I see the Eliezers. Even though they're in the house, that I don't honor that. God said, I see your Ishmael. But I do not honor that. The only thing that I'm going to honor is what you do in obedience to me. God only honors and respects obedience. God does not relish in disobedience. Amen. Tonight is so important that we get to know the mind of God and do it His way. God has a way. Amen. How many know in the book of Isaiah it talks about there is how many ways?
One way.
John chapter 14 says Jesus is the way. Even though we may try to do things our way, God will not honor it because that is not the way. When you look around and you wonder what things are people starting to place before God, how many more Eliezers is it going to take? How many more Lots? How many more Ishmaels? How many more Pharaohs? And how many more Abimelechs will we have to encounter before we say we finally got it? This is your Isaac. This is your test. Amen. Will you pass the test and walk in obedience to God? Or will we continue to try to figure out and help God out? The Bible says, known unto God of all his works from the what?
Beginning.
Amen. This very night, God knows. God looked at all the excuses that we make for why we are not on the level, or we have not reached the spiritual plane of plateau where he wants us to be. God looks at it and he said, you know, you haven't got it, so I'm going to just keep testing you. I'm going to keep testing you. I'm going to keep trying you. I believe Hebrews chapter 11 says that God tried Abraham. How did he try him? Through Isaac. God many times will try us with the thing that means the most to us, because God wants to make sure in our lives that we will put nothing before him. Amen. The minute we start making excuses, the minute we start putting things before God, God says, okay, they don't have it, so I'm going to put them on this. I got to give them another test to see if they have finally got it yet. Our prayer should be, Lord, I know that, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff I don't understand, a lot of things I cannot figure out. Lord, I don't even know the way sometimes, but I trust you. And because I trust you, Lord, that another thing about Isaac that you should consider, and the reason a lot of people said that God was asking Abraham to break his very laws, and they weren't supposed to sacrifice their children, because that was the one kind of practice. A heathen practice. That's what the pagans did. He said, don't cause your sons to pass through the fire. He deals with Moloch. But then the very thing that God tells them not to do, and God called Abraham out of what? Ur of the Chaldees. What were they doing in Ur of the Chaldees? Sacrificing their children. So God calls them out of that, and the very last test, he takes them back to where he called them from. He takes them back to the beginning. Now, if most of us in Abraham, we would stop right there. Wait a minute. Lord, what is wrong with you? You know how sometimes we have to help God out? Wait a minute. You called me out of this 60 years ago. Now you take me back to a pagan practice to get me to honor you. You know how we like to rationalize? Like, yeah, that don't make sense. No, God wouldn't expect me to do that. If it's by faith, he does. If it's by obedience, he does. Because what sense does it make for God to have them do something he commanded them not to do? They weren't supposed to sacrifice their children. But God can use whatever he wants to use to test us. Amen. What I like the most in Abraham's final test, he never once asked God why. In his final test, he didn't ask God why. He didn't say, God, it didn't make sense. Amen. I don't know if it was Elder, I don't know if it was Bishop, I don't think it was Haywood. I think it was Elder Tobin who took over after, when Bishop Haywood died, Elder Tobin took over. And, you know, they had a big thriving church ministry, elders and ministers galore. But Elder Tobin knew that he was sick, and that he was on the waning years of his life, and that he was soon going to go from time to eternity. And he needed to pick out a successor in the church. Amen. To follow him up. So what he did, he prayed and God gave him a plan. Now let's see how many of us are going to be the successor in this. So God gave him a plan. The plan was this. Call all of those elders in the church. Have them all sit out in the audience. And he would call them all up to the rostrum, to the altar, one by one. And he would tell them, see that chair? Yes, we see the chair, Pastor. He would take the chair and turn around and face the people. He said, everybody would take the chair there. And they love him. So can you go back to your seat? Only one man, he said, take the chair, turn around and face the people. He picked the Chip Turner, he gonna be giving me everybody else a good spirit. You know why? Because he said, you didn't question my authority. You didn't question my position. So I already know you have a heart after God because you did not question me. Now they didn't say anything, he said, but they hesitated, or they were reluctant, or they looked back at him again. That showed that their heart was not where it needs to be. Well, tonight, God has us. And he's testing us as a child of God. And all he's telling us is do something that doesn't make sense. But be what? Obedient. We have problems doing the simple things. Little things. Amen. We have problems just being a child of God. Amen. And being a child of God means we must learn to be forgiven. I don't care. Jesus said if they offend you seven times in one day, and seven times in one day term, repent and ask you to forgive them. He said you got to forgive them. He said, oh, we need our faith increased. He said, no, you know what? Faith can move this sick line between the middle of the sea. He said, you don't need your faith increased. You just need to do what is your duty. As a child of God tonight, can we learn to do our duty? Our duty is what we owe back to God. How many know every day we mess up and God forgives us every day? Why do we know the Bible says? Because his mercies are new. We don't have to question when we get up in the morning if we have any mercies. Don't we know we get stuff? Oh, you know, man, I acted so ugly, I acted so bad. God said, you know what? My mercies are still new. What? Every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. God is so faithful to us that the question that we must address tonight, how faithful are we in return to God? God is so faithful to us. How faithful are we unto God? Are we to God? Are what? Ishmaels? What? Lots? What Eliezers? What Pharaohs? Or what Abimelechs? Are we allowed to cause us to go walk in disobedience to God? He told the church, the seven churches in Laodicea, I know thy works as we stand. And the elders and the ministers come forward. Tonight, this is your item. You know what your item is? It's the test that's going to show, do you love God more than any of those other things? What things in our lives have become irrelevant to God? What things in our lives have become irrelevant to God? This is your Isaac tonight. This is your chance to prove to God, Lord, I want to be counted worthy. How many know that we'll never be perfect? That's what the Bible says, God will present us faultless. You know how he presents us faultless? Because we mess up. Time in and time out. And God says, I'm going to present you faultless. As long as you do what you know to do. If I messed up, if I acted in that kind of way, get it right. You know, I was speaking with Pastor Walden, the late Pastor Walden before he died. He said, so many people mess up. And they ask God for forgiveness, but the very person they offended, they never get it right with. Amen? If you know you've offended, you need to get it right. Amen. You know, growing up, like I told you all, there were times when my mother would come back in a call in her godly way, apologize for doing something that she felt what she did was wrong when I was a child. But it left such an impression for me. If my mother, me and my mother were married, but you know, now some we had lots of superstitions. I'm like, why? I'm not doing that. She said, boy, you would do that. Because I said do it. I said, oh, God, but you said do it. But you know what? My mom, every time, even if she thought she offended, I don't know if she did my other brothers and sisters. I'm telling you what she did to me. And I hope y'all don't get a copy of this tape so y'all can she'd come back to me and she'd call me by my nickname. She said, you know, I was thinking about this, and maybe we should have done it this way. As a parent, your children will always remember what you've established. As a parent, you can't be wrong. Brooke will tell you, Justin will tell you, Sean Paul, Aaron. I forgot somebody, right? As a kid, they were my children, but if I thought I did something wrong, I went back to my kids. Because I don't want my kids to say, you preaching and trying to tell everybody else what to do. You hypocrite. You did that to me. You didn't get it right. And I didn't care. It wasn't because I was a preacher. It was because I'm a child of God. Amen. Parents, if we offend our children, get it right. Because the Bible said, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. It's so important in this day and age that we have a heart for what is right. A heart for what is right. If everyone is able to stand, stand. We got to have a heart for what is right. So if I got to do it to a child, I'll also do it to an adult. This is the last thing I'm going to tell you. When I was in school, I always went for the underdogs. I always tried to help the less advantaged, those that were underprivileged. Or if anyone was considered to be somewhat slow, I had a label on them. Those were the ones I tried to help, because everybody else had all the help. And there was one kid that I'm not going to tell you the name, because they might one day get this tape, but I don't want them to hear. So I made it right with him. You know, I said, you know what? When you think about it, the kid was probably so frustrated by everybody else, and he couldn't hit back at the stuff to everybody else that he did to me. So sometimes they say, well, I get the one that's the closest to me, because I know he won't strike back. Salvation and the love of God has to be beyond what we want to do. If we don't get some more kindness and sweetness, amen, bitterness, ugliness, and meanness will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are works of the flesh and not fruits of the spirit. Tonight, this is your eyes. Don't we need to change some of our ways, some of our habits, some of our patterns, some of the things that we know God sees and nobody else sees it? Don't we need to get these things right? Well, tonight, this is your eyes. Don't let it be said too late. Hallelujah.